Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Coming up when we get to the news at 7:30, has the coronavirus arrived here in New England?
Oh, great.
And irrational fear, what doctors found in a Texas man's head that explains his month-long headache. So we'll get to that during the news at 7:30. But right now, joining us on the Harbor One Hotline and brought to you by your Kubota tractor dealers here in New England, it is Boomer Esiason. Good morning, Boomer.
Hey, good morning, Greg. How are you and the fam doing down there?
Can you give us a minute to put on our surgical masks in case you have the corona?
Oh, God. Man, I got to tell you, man, it was awful. I know it's not the coronavirus, but it was, whatever I had, it was terrible.
All right, you weren't eating any bat soup or anything, were you?
No, I was not. I wasn't eating any snakes or any of that stuff, no.
Last night, media night, I thought it was interesting. Jimmy G said almost right off the bat that he got a nice text message from Tom Brady, and everything seems to be okay between the two of them.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, Tom's going to be very professional, you know that, and I do think that they genuinely like each other. And in retrospect, when you really think about it, Jimmy Garoppolo went to a great place to go play quarterback, and he went to go play for a great coach with a great system, a system that is proved fail-safe when it is working and they got everything going on. Look, they got a great team, and he has benefited, much like Tom has benefited the last couple of years, of a great defense. So there's really no reason for anybody to be upset about any of this thing. I'm sure that Jimmy would have loved to have stayed in New England, but at the end of the day, you have to take stock in where you're at, and where he's at is at Super Bowl 54, which is a great trade, if you ask me.
Adam Schefter reported that the Patriots wanted Tom to make a decision by March 16th. Would you consider that an ultimatum given to Tom Brady by the Patriots?
I think it's a little bit of an ultimatum, but I also think that the organization needs to know where he wants to go and what he wants to do, because it's not. I think Bill said this at the end in his last press conference. Like, you know, it's not really about what one person wants to do; it's about what everybody needs to do. And, you know, they have to kind of navigate this landscape of how much is he worth and, you know, how much does he expect to make? And maybe he's trying to make the Patriots pay a little bit more money. I'm not really sure. All I know is, Eli Manning retired this past week. And he said, you know, I always wanted to retire a Giant and only a Giant. Now, Eli's career had come to an end. We could all see that on the field. Tom still has, I think, a couple really good years left in him. But I believe those years would be well spent with Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick as opposed to some other strange organization with strange coaches, different players, a different system. So, I mean, my sense is that I wish he would stay in New England. I'd like to see him retire as a New England Patriot and go out as the greatest of all time in that uniform, because that's where he has created his legacy.
What about the Jay Glazer report that the Chargers are definitely moving on from Philip Rivers, Boomer? And do you think that's a landing spot potentially for Tom Brady?
Now, we're not surprised about that, because Jason LaCanfora said the same thing about 4 weeks left to go in the season. So, you know, news travels fast. We all forget what was said yesterday, and we always worry about what's said tomorrow or is going to be said tomorrow. So we kind of knew this. And maybe Philip Rivers reunites with Frank Reich in Indianapolis. That's a very good possibility. Frank was his offense coordinator out in San Diego. They got along great. Indianapolis might be in the market for a quarterback. I hear a lot of rumblings. Maybe he would go to Tampa and go with Bruce Arians. I think that's just gamesmanship on the part of the Bucs right now to try to get Jameis Winston to have a much more realistic number in the back of his mind of what it would take to get him to come back to Tampa after throwing all those interceptions. But you know, there's all the speculation that's going to happen. We'll know something here in about 5 weeks, and hopefully Tom will come to, you know, grips with, you know, let's just go with the New England Patriots and stay there. But if it were me, I would want to be wined and dined too. I'd want to be told how great I am, and I'd want to see if I could extract some enormous number from the Chargers. And, you know, if that would be the case, then bring it back to Bob Kraft and Maybe he meets it. Maybe he surpasses it. Although I don't see that happening in New England. I think there's a number that they have in mind. And remember, they already have a $13.5 million cap hit against their cap this year due to money that's been moved around in Tom's contract originally. So that's something else that we all have to take into account here as well.
Boomer, let me pause since it's something you want and do it right now. You are great. You're great on, you're great with us. You are truly great. So I just want to tell you that since you want that.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Makes me feel so much better about myself, especially after feeling like crap the last 3 days. Exactly what I needed to hear. Thank you. I heard that, Michelle. Oh. That was very nice.
But Boomer, we've been together the entire season, and you just called me Michelle. It's like we're married. It's like we're married now.
I'm telling you, oh, my God.
Can you hold on a second. What's my name, Boomer?
Tony.
What about the tight end that we have here this morning? Any idea of the former tight end?
Well, since we're former football players, I know we know each other very, very well. Yeah, we have these clandestine football meetings.
You know that guy? I know that guy.
I know Wiggy. I know who he is.
Yeah, you know, Michelle, Danielle. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Who cares? Boomer. I don't even know what the hell I'm doing at work today, to be honest with you. I am playing hurt.
Andy Reid last night in the red Tommy Bahama could be seen from the space station, but who has the coaching advantage on Sunday, he or Shanahan?
Wow, man, I love both of these coaches. My heartfelt sentiment here is with Andy Reid. You know, I really want him to win it. I don't know, in everybody else's minds, the media's mind, he's got to validate his career by winning a Super Bowl, especially with the quarterback that he has now. But I don't know. He's probably one of the more revered coaches in the NFL, and I can't think of anybody who ever says a bad word about him. So I'm kind of rooting for him. But Kyle Shanahan's got something special going on, and I think his dad's got a lot of influence in him. Everybody thinks of this great offensive coordinator because when he was with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones in that great offense at Atlanta, you know, they put up huge numbers, and it was through the air because they wanted to take advantage of Matt and all that other stuff. But now it's on the ground, and this is how his dad won the Super Bowl. So this is going to be the Chiefs' run defense versus the run offense of the San Francisco 49ers. That will be one major matchup. The other major matchup is going to be the front four of the San Francisco 49ers against the speed of Patrick Mahomes and his wideouts and the track meet that these games seem to turn into once they get rolling. The question will be for me to watch how early in this game how slow they get off. They usually get off to a slow start for whatever reason. And then all of a sudden, it just takes over, and you can see the track meet developing before your eyes. So those would be a couple of key matchups in this game to watch. And, you know, I'm rooting for Andy. I really am. I don't want to hide that because I just think he is the epitome of what an NFL coach is all about. He spends a lot of time working really hard, making sure his players get the best game plans that they possibly can to get the most out of them. And that's one of the reasons why I think he and Patrick Mahomes were a perfect fit from day one.
Now, when you think about this game here, you got two quarterbacks, and a lot of Super Bowls come down to the play of the quarterbacks, but you got two quarterbacks that don't have any experience. Does that kind of play a factor into maybe this game, or would you kind of lean towards Patrick Mahomes because he's the type of quarterback that has gone out there in postseason and thrown the football all over the place, or does it really even matter?
You know, I don't think it matters. I think that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have a good game here. I think that you can throw the ball against the Chiefs, and you can throw it effectively. The key, as always, the same key when you're playing against the Chiefs, especially with Patrick Mahomes, you know, he's averaged 33 points per game since he has taken over as starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, and he has never played a bad game. Think about that for a minute. So if you're the opposing quarterback, that means you have to convert on third down, and that means when you get in the red zone, you have to score touchdowns. But the one thing that San Francisco does have going for, guys, is that they can control the ball on the ground. I mean, they literally can run out the clock if they are as successful with their running game this week as they have been the previous 2 weeks in the playoffs. So if they're able to do that, now all of a sudden that changes that whole dynamic, and maybe they frustrate Patrick Mahomes. That's the only way I think they beat him is if they frustrate him, and they frustrate him by keeping him on the sideline. And then he feels like he has to go out there and do everything himself and be the Superman that he has been the last two games in the playoffs. But, you know, if it's a balanced game and it's, you know, it's about the same amount of possession time and the same amount of plays, then I think that works in the favor of the Kansas City Chiefs. But I'm not worried about the inexperience of these quarterbacks. Jimmy's been there, you know, a couple times with the Patriots, so he knows what this is all about.
Danielle, you got a question?
Yeah, I do, actually, Greg. Boomer, have you ever called your lovely wife Cheryl the wrong name while making love, and was she angry about it?
I try not to.
Do you have a real?
Do
you
have I have an actual football question. I do have an actual football question.
Go ahead, Danielle. Go ahead.
You know how women are, Boomer, right? You know.
Yeah, Danielle, just so you understand, I think I still have a fever.
Oh! So you have the man sickness. So you're a big baby. I played the NFL and I'm a baby because I'm sick.
If he did that, he'd be all over TMZ.
Yeah, all over it. So I'm curious to know your thoughts about the onside kick rules that they tested at the Pro Bowl over the weekend.
You know what? I don't like any of it. You know, I wish football would just stay the way it always has been. You know, I love it and I love the way it is. I love the fact that you could still get an onside kick. I know it's very hard to do that under the current rules, but I'm not in favor of changing it too much. And I think that's a pretty radical change.
Drew Brees, Boomer, does he retire or you think he plays for another year?
I think he plays for another year. I don't know what the hell is going on with these guys. All this, I got to think about this. I got to think about that. Drew Brees can still play, man. He can still play, and he is New Orleans, just like Tom Brady is New England. And as long as they are still as productive as they are, they should still remain where they are because that's where their best chance lies to win.
Now, Boomer, you talk about Brees, you talk about Brady, and you brought this up earlier. It's about the money and the cap. What do you think that they're – you know, what's a comparable amount that they should be paid? If you're New England, if you're any other team, what type of money you think they make on the market or do they deserve?
Well, I see, this is the thing. You know, the Brooklyn Nets decided to pay Kevin Durant just to come here,
mm-hmm.
and he's making $41 million, and he's not even playing.
Right.
Think about that for a second. I mean, that is desperate. That's about as desperate as it gets. So what I want is I want the teams that they're playing for, the teams that they have that have played well for, they're the ones, if you ask me, that should pay these players. And I think that if you gave them somewhere around $30 million a year, that would be fair, due to their age, due to how much they've already made. And it would also allow the teams some flexibility then to go and get some other players to help them. And that's one thing I think that Tom needs more than Drew. Drew has enough offensive players around him. And a great offensive line, by the way, that will be able to support him. They just maybe need a defensive player or two. For the New England Patriots, we all know. We feel like they need a tight end presence. They need another wide receiver presence. We also don't know how good the players from last year will be coming back this year. So that's a whole nother thing to keep in mind. But I think you just have to be realistic. And, you know, Tom Brady is not going to get $40 million. I mean, if they gave him 30 and he's already got 13.5 on the salary cap, that's a $43 million hit right there. And that is significant when it comes to signing other free agents or, you know, even upping your own free agents. That's kind of the problem, what's going on here, because New England's got a number of guys that they have to continue to sign as well here in the offseason.
After what's gone on, Boomer, do you think we'll ever see Antonio Brown playing in the NFL again?
No way.
No way. Never.
Absolutely not. No way. He is completely radioactive right now. Two times ago, I think his Instagram post with the cops out front of his house and yelling things at them and, you know, the racist undertones to it. I just don't see it.
Did you watch, by the way, the Aaron Hernandez documentary on Netflix?
I only watched part of it. I could only get through part of it.
Because it was just depressing, or
it was depressing. And I know Wiggy was on there, but yeah. I couldn't handle it. You know, I have no sympathy. I'm sorry. And I know that there was a part of it that was, I felt there was a part of it that was trying to explain who he became and how he became that person. But
you don't buy it.
I couldn't watch it.
How about The Outsider? Are you watching The Outsider?
No, I'm not watching that.
Yeah. What do you watch, Boomer? I mean,
I watch football.
I mean, take a break.
I just got done watching Fleabag.
Oh. Yeah. That's supposed to be good.
It's supposed to be really good.
Yeah,
it's very good. Yes. Yeah. So that's about it.
Well, I have one last question, which is that there's a report today that the coaches on both sides are concerned about too much trash talk when it comes to the Super Bowl. Do you think there's a potential there for that leading up to it?
No, I don't think so. I think this is all chirping that's going on. It's all, as long as it's good nature and nobody's mean-spirited about it. I can only think back to our Super Bowl. You know, we felt like at 7.5-point underdogs, that's all we needed to motivate us to come out and try to be as focused as we possibly could. And, you know, damn, we almost pulled it off. But I would just think in this day and age with social media getting involved and all this other crap, I would think coaches would probably tell their players, hey, guys, just be careful, man, because this is a whole different swamp that we're living in now. And when you get into the social media sewer pit, then this is what happens, and it gets blown out of proportion. So let's hope that doesn't happen this week.
And in your fugue state this morning, are you picking the Chiefs? I can't tell.
I am. Okay. No, I am picking the Chiefs, and I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think this is going to be reminiscent of the New Orleans-San Francisco game earlier this year where Jimmy Garoppolo played really well, and I believe San Francisco came with away with a win in that game. So I think this has the potential of being one of those games, 30-27, 34-30, something like that.
All right. Well, thanks for joining Jeremy and Michelle and myself. And we will, we'll talk to you next Monday. I hope you feel better.
I'll do a much better job next week, I promise.
you're fine.
See you guys.
Thanks.
Bye, Boomer.
Bye-bye.
Mud at Night, weeknights 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Might have been Boomer's best appearance of the year. That was tremendous. Brought to you in part by DCU and Vertex.
Well,
Michelle, fine.
So do you think he's right when it comes to the number for the Patriots? So, Wiggy, do you think the Patriots have to give Tom Brady $30 million in order to make this work?
See, I think they could get it done with like $25, $26 million. And then
they didn't want to pay him $25 this past year.
Right. And I think that was a mistake on their part.
I mean, the Chargers are going to offer him 40 per year. People are.
Do you really believe understand. That, though?
Yes, of
you
course.
You believe that.
It is a blank check. They're going to say, sign for what you want. We are opening the new stadium, SoFi Stadium. We got to fill this sucker. Come to L.A. Are you kidding?
Oh, $40 million is a lot. I feel like they moved on from Phillip Rivers because they're like, it's time to move on from an aging quarterback.
He sucked. Yeah, they benched him last year.
But the thing is, I mean, he makes the point about Durant. I mean, would they be willing to just write the $40 million check because it's Tom Brady and because he's a California boy? Yeah.
How much is that? I mean, how much is he really gonna move the needle as far as ticket sales?
And I think he would move the needle.
The greatest player of all time in any sport.
Yeah, but they were doing good when they were in San Diego and couldn't fill the stadium. You think people in L.A. really care?
That's the point. They need people
to care.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to get them to care about a team that they have no investment in. L.A. fans, I don't think they're going to care.
Well, Joe Montana was Tom Brady's idol. Fitzy got a lot of likes on this. Talk about Panderdome. We got Wiggy pandering regarding Kobe and Fitzy pandering about Joe Montana, but here was the Montana interview with Michael Silver that's making the rounds.
It's not easy to go to another team and get accepted no matter how much success you've had and how many years you've played. They still want to see you come in and be the same player.
Tom Brady may go through that. Would you have any advice for him if he ends up switching teams?
Don't, if you don't have to. It's just, I mean, it's a process to go through, and it takes time to get used to the team. If they let him have his own offense there, that makes it a little bit easier. I just can't see how they would let him leave.
Interesting. Now, Wes Welker was asked, I think by our Ben Volen, if he's curious where Brady will play next year, and he said, quote, not really, end quote. So that bridge is apparently burned.
You know, I still have Welker's number in my phone, and I texted him to try to see if he would come on the show. And then he gave me the who is this?
I don't know.
It's called the Edelman.
Did you respond back with, this is G Hill?
I already said at the beginning who I was. And then he gave me the who is this? So I don't even know.
I mean, I'm fishy.
I don't even know where to go with that one.
Well, to make
ask him to go skiing in Montana.
To make myself feel better, I'm saying that he probably doesn't have the phone anymore. And it was somebody else.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. But nice. I mean, it would be nice to see Welker win himself a Super Bowl as a coach. I mean, I think that would be nice. No, Wiggy?
Wiggy hates Welker.
No, I don't know how much it means to a player, former player, to win.
If you win one as a wide receivers coach, it doesn't mean anything,
right,
is what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. I don't know how much it means or to win one and you were a backup and you didn't really play at all.
Right.
You know, I don't know really know what that feeling would be.
So
like,
when Boomer says that Garoppolo has been there a couple times with the Pats,
he really hasn't.
It really isn't germane germane to the discussion.
Wait, no, wrong spelling.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. No, he really hasn't, because he got no playing time at all in any Super Bowl. So that's what the experience of actually playing. Neither has Patrick Mahomes playing in the biggest game on the biggest stage, and this is the first crack that you have at it.
Everything happening in Miami. Celtics at the Heat tonight, 7:30 tip tonight. It's the Greg Hill Show.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Where or who should Tom Brady play for if he leaves the Patriots? Oh, wow. Just the luck of the draw on that one, huh? I don't know. I haven't really put too much thought in it. We've been wrapped up in all this stuff, but it'll be pretty interesting when all that all that happens.
Jimmy G, last night, getting through media night and the inane questions that are asked over and over and over again. And I guess the news, if you're somebody who thinks Tom Brady can't stand Jimmy Garoppolo, is that Jimmy confirmed that Tom sent a good luck and go get him text to Jimmy Garoppolo. So can we put that to bed, that the two of them can't stand each other? Tom can't stand him. Can we stop talking about that?
Oh, like he's not going to do that regardless, even if he can't stand Jimmy.
Well, he's always going to send a text message like saying good luck. If he can't stand a guy.
I mean, if you don't like somebody, why are you sending them a good luck text?
Right. I send you a happy birthday text every year, don't I?
Regardless.
Well, I'll remember that when your birthday rolls around.
You do every year. Yeah, you do every year.
I mean, honestly, it's business. It's like, you know, we were talking, my lead this morning was about men being more emotional. Men are what was the study? Men are double.
Twice as emotional as women at work.
They're twice as emotional as women are at work.
And twice as likely to forget their lead phrasing.
And that's because we're more passionate.
Yeah, we care more.
We care more.
You can't handle your emotions. That's what
more
it is.
Passionate.
It's a well-known fact. Men are weight more than women.
All right. Thank you, Mr. B.
That's why the pay scale is also. It's the passion.
That's it.
Be more passionate and the pay scale will be equal.
If passion equates with pay scale, what's your excuse?
Jesus. You know my excuse.
I know, it's race.
I didn't say that, you said it.
Hey, here's a 508 text based on what Boomer Esiason said on the show a few moments ago, where Boomer said that Tom should get $30 million from the Patriots, could get $40 million from the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
And the 508 texter says, in his 20 years here, he has never been about the money. Why does everyone suddenly think that he is going to chase the money?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where that one comes from about him chasing them. That's why I said if they gave him 24, 25, 26 million, I mean, which is fair market value. What are they paying him, 23 this year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know.
I think in his mind, it's not about the money per se. It's about the respect that comes with the money. It's about being paid at the level that an upper echelon, top tier quarterback ought to be paid in the NFL. I think that's what it's about. See, he's not sitting there going, hey, I need an extra $5 million so that, you know, when my Social Security payments start to kick in, I have enough to cover the mortgage.
But this is also over a 3-year span. I mean, keep in mind, if it's $5 or $10 million more this year, that's times three, right? He's looking for a final contract of his career. And the Patriots want him to go year to year.
Now, do you think it's more about having, because you say year to year, right? Brady has to be realistic. And what is he saying in his mind? Does he want a 2-year deal? Because that's only an extra year. Or does he want a 3-year deal, right?
Guerrero said 47 on this show. Well, so that's four or 5-year deal.
Right. So I think ultimately it comes down to what Tom looks at as being the length of a contract that he wants.
Do you think that he also considers where he has the best opportunity to win? So do you think he looks at the Chargers and says and compares them with what he's going to have here next year, in addition to what the salary is and what the length of the deal is, and says, if I go here, do I have the opportunity to win another couple Super Bowls or win another Super Bowl?
I mean, that always going to it always going to play. It's going to play into maybe the what you have around or what the supporting cast you have around you, what's already in San Diego. You know, you got Melvin Gordon, you got Keenan Allen, and you got Mike Williams, right? So you got
and they have the sixth pick in the draft, so that is a franchise left tackle coming their way if they get Brady in, right?
Right. You could look at that and go,
here
okay.
Here you've got who? Marcus Cannon?
Right, right. If you look on paper, you could go, the Chargers offensively have more tools to utilize. But we know that Brady has won Super Bowls without maybe those big-name tools or those big-name weapons. So how much is he really looking at that? Is that a main factor? I know he wants to have an upgrade, and I think he feels like Bill will upgrade. But is it going to be based on, I'm coming back as long as I know that you're going to upgrade, and what's your upgrade plan?
Is it 857 text that says the Chargers are the cheapest franchise in the NFL. I don't know why anyone thinks they're going to pay him $40 million.
They are. I think this is the same organization that fired their coach after he went 14-2 or whatever it was when Monty Schottenheimer had a really good year and they ultimately fired him. I don't think that Brady playing for the Chargers in L.A. is going to instantly make people go, oh, I want to, it's going to sell out every week. I just don't think that's part of it.
Now, Charlie Weiss is on with OMF today at 3:30. Somebody at the Super Bowl yesterday asked him why. Here is Weiss's hypothetical. If Brady doesn't want to at least look into free agency, then why is he an unrestricted free agent?
Sure.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Well, because so obviously he wants to.
Yeah.
Well, because the only way you could be an unrestricted free, I mean, the only way you can't get traded is by being an unrestricted free agent. So that's
what, well, you want Bill to have the power to, right, to franchise him is right, essentially what he
right, and then
wanted,
ultimately trade him. So yeah. That's the reason why. I don't think it's that difficult to come up with an answer.
All right, coming up momentarily during the news, has the coronavirus arrived here in New England?
Dun dun dun.
Speaking of that,
yes.
What do you make of the experts who are saying that when it comes to travel?
Mm-hmm.
Countries need to shut that down, and people who are saying that it's racist, they're saying that it's a draconian action.
Yeah. Because we have like an impending pandemic, it's draconian.
Okay. Right. They're saying it's draconian and that we can't stop people from, you know, arriving on our shores and where, you know, we got...
And infecting the rest of the country?
We got Lady Liberty. And
get out of here.
These
people call it draconian until their family gets wiped out.
So would you be okay with saying, when it comes to China, nobody from China can travel to this country for a period of time?
I'd be fine with it with any country. It's not about the nationality or the race or the ethnicity or anything like that. It's the geographical source of the outbreak.
Ken's liberal shock collar alarm just went off. He's losing his mind in there.
Well, no.
What?
We just had Boomer on. His son Gunner was tweeting about this yesterday. I don't know if you saw it. He brought up the flu. Like, why are people so panicked about this illness when the flu kills, whatever, 35,000 people a year across the world? We already have a pandemic.
Huh.
So he's a medical guy. I think he's in the medical field
somewhere.
That's
an interesting point I never thought of. But you can identify. You can't identify where somebody is coming from who has the flu on a plane. The only thing I know is that they're always sitting right next to me.
Of course.
That's the way it always works. I have the sickest person. Oh, like somebody's coughing up a lung that is seated next to me or near me on a plane. But you can't identify, like you can't look and say, all right, there's more. In this case, you can look at China and say, like for a period of time, we're not going to allow people from China to come into the...
Yeah, but isn't that a slippery slope? Because didn't they try to do that? And granted, it was a different situation when there was the seven countries where they wanted to make sure because of terrorism, they wanted to shut down people from coming in and going.
Yes.
And, you know, you saw what that turned into.
Oh, I know. People lost their minds over it.
It's one of these things that if you get sick, go to the hospital. If you got the coronavirus...
The problem is they don't know because it can mimic other things, and the symptoms are so, you know, close to other things.
It can mimic other things like what? The flu?
Yeah.
Well, then you
and
go to the
viruses.
Then you go to the doctors for the flu, and then if you find out you got the coronavirus, they'll give you some medicine. But the problem is you don't go see the doctor, and you're just walking around spreading these germs without, you know, trying to see a doctor to see about getting help.
China!
Hello, Lori.
Good morning, morning crew.
What's up, Lori?
So I think everyone doesn't need to be quite so worried about shutting down the airports as they do to be worried about buying all these products from China, because this whole flu or this whole corona is actually coming from one of the largest ports on the Yangtze River. It's from the China Crate with a K, snake, and the Chinese cobra.
Huh.
And yeah, so those are the origin species, and then it jumped to humans. But it's not just people that are passing it. It's all the, if that virus gets on any of the products that are coming out of that port, and it's the largest exporting port in China, we're all screwed.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I've given up the peacock bisque for the next few weeks.
Oh, nice job.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's probably smart.
Does
that come with its own toothpick?
They have identified where the disease began and where patient zero came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're going to get to that during the news coming up next.
Now, it's the Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
The news with Michelle is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, specializing in the sexual health of men. Learn more at northeastmenshealth.com, or you can call 617-793-5000.
Full confidence. Two people in New Hampshire undergoing testing for the dreaded coronavirus. It's killed over 100 people worldwide so far. These two individuals did recently travel to Wuhan in China. They later developed respiratory symptoms, according to the New Hampshire Bureau of Infectious Disease Control. So now they've got, I believe they have at least one of them quarantined at the hospital.
Yeah. Hey, never mind the airport. How about we shut down the border with our neighbors up north?
Well, how are you going to get your dip?
I don't know how I'm going to get my discounted flavored dip, but we'll deal with that later. Shut it down.
We have some sound from Boston Mayor Marty Walsh.
We are constantly assessing potential threats, and we'll be ready in the case of a virus does appear so it doesn't spread. But if you have flu-like symptoms and you're not sure, you're always best not to sit back and Google it.
Probably one of my favorite Marty lines ever.
Go to the hospital. Go see a doctor.
Listen, when we were talking about shutting the airport down, there were texters who were texting in and saying that this virus is unlike the flu or others, mm-hmm. because there's no vaccine. There's no, we have no way to stop it.
Right.
So that most of them on the text line seem to be in favor of at least preventing those who have been to China or are coming from China, mm-hmm. from entering the country for a period of time. But
if you get it, then what happens if there's no vaccine, if there's no way to cure it, then what?
Well, 100 people have died, Wiggy. I mean, I don't know. Do I have to explain it to you?
Well, that means we're going to see more fatalities in China then, because there have to be a lot.
They're building a whole entire hospital, mm-hmm. just for the people who have it, building it, mm-hmm. like a 1,000-bed mm-hmm. Quarantine hospital, mm-hmm. place. So that they can cover up from the rest of the world what's really going on over there.
You're always best not to sit back and Google it.
I mean, they finally, just yesterday, identified and owned up to the fact that it started at that market.
Wet market?
Yeah, the wet market.
The wet market.
As it's called.
Yes.
That's where Patient Zero had the bat soup. Mm-hmm. And they're going to stop right now selling the wild peacocks.
Mm-hmm. They're actually calling for a global ban on wild exotic animals. So a wet market, if you're not familiar, is where they slaughter the animal basically right in front of the customer.
Yeah.
And I thought we could go over quickly a list of the exotic finds that they had at
that they
at
had
the, at the, at this the, particular market.
At the Wuhan,
yes.
wet market?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is the Wanan Seafood Market.
Yeah.
And in their wild animal section, they have wolf pups, live ones, golden cicadas.
What's a cicada?
Those little bugs that are like two inches long with the big wings and the fat heads.
When you say wolf pups, are they like baby?
Wolves, baby wolves.
And they're slaughtering those at the tableside?
Yeah.
Is it like guac when they make guac at tableside?
I had to navigate away from the article after a while and select the text version only because the photos.
You don't want wolf pup soup?
No.
It's actually wolf pup tartare.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Scorpions.
Uh-huh.
Bamboo rats.
Oh, wow.
Squirrels. Foxes. Civets. Civet. I forget how you pronounce it. Hedgehogs. Salamanders, turtles, and crocodiles. There are also parts of some animals, such as crocodile tail, belly, tongue, and intestines.
People say that turtle soup is delicious. I've never had turtle soup, but people do say that it's very good.
Obscure office reference. Was it Jim and Pam's wedding? I forget, but Dwight bought a turtle soup set with a shell cracker, and the turtle actually got out of the box at the wedding and was crawling out of the church.
Yeah. I'll take the Caesar salad with the grilled salamander on it.
I'll take the number one, the Big Mac in medium fries.
This is why Wiggy eats no seafood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wiggy, do you get offended when people ask for white anchovies on their Caesar salad?
Wait, is that why you don't?
I don't get anchovies on my Caesar salad.
No, but is that why you don't eat seafood? Because it's not because you're allergic.
No, I just never really like, you growing up in East Boston, I never really like the smell, and I know it goes into the harbor.
Well, we cleaned the harbor up decades ago.
We dredged it, remember?
Okay.
It was a whole big thing. Yes, the water stink.
All those rubber tires in the harbor.
Mm-hmm. U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman said that Britain's...
Hold on a second.
Oh, yes, yes.
Relax. These people want to talk about the coronavirus. Hello, Chad.
Hey, Ken.
What's going on, Chad?
Hey, I get an obscure reference to Patient Zero on from Contagion when the vagina candle lady shakes hand with the butcher.
Yes.
Switching up the pig.
Yes.
And she brings it back to the U.S. The exact same thing. That movie is just playing out the coronavirus.
We talked about this last week, that film, Contagion, is eerily similar to what is happening right now.
Correct.
When it comes to the corona.
Then it's too late.
Because we can prevent the further spread.
Well, then you'd have to kill everybody with it.
Well,
but in the movie, right, it spreads through touch, right?
Yeah.
Through. So if there are people that have already came back here, then they probably touched other people who've touched other people. And ultimately, you're going to come in contact with somebody. It's like, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. Well,
6 degrees of Wuhan wet market.
Right. I mean, so then it really doesn't matter.
Right. It's 6 degrees of wolf pup bacon.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter unless you kill everybody with the coronavirus.
Now, is that hickory smoked or?
Waiter, get me a turtle soup and make it snappy. Come on.
The comedy thing.
You've never heard that one?
Leave the written jokes to Fitzy.
You've never heard that one? Come on, that's all right. All right. Anyway, you wanted to talk about something.
Yeah, the U.S. attorney, Jeff Berman, said that Britain's Prince Andrew has provided zero cooperation to investigators here in America who want to talk to him about the investigation into the Jeffrey Epstein sex allegations.
Well, there's no surprise here.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's a royal. He doesn't think he has to answer to anybody.
I mean... Yeah. In theory, he did withdraw from his royal duties.
Right.
But we have a little sound from U.S. Attorney Berman.
The Southern District of New York and the FBI have contacted Prince Andrew's attorneys and requested to interview Prince Andrew. And to date, Prince Andrew has provided zero cooperation.
Yeah. They ought to drag him over here. I don't know that they can.
I don't think the queen send him.
Yeah, she'd probably like to get rid of him.
She's like, listen, I already unloaded Harry and Meghan. Maybe you're next.
Did you see Meghan Markle whining, as long as you brought it up,
yeah,
that she preferred being a television star to being a royal? She liked the life of being a Hollywood star.
Yeah, because a Hollywood star, at least they put you up on a little bit of a pedestal. The royals, you have all those tabloids and the rags, and they're like,
I thought they wanted
to get away from all the paparazzi stuff.
No, she wants to get away from the royal part of it. She wants to be a...
But
like
she still wants the celebrity.
Hollywood. Yes, the celebrity part of it she likes.
Oh, she still wants that.
I mean... give me a break. You know how many people would love to be, like, to step into the life of Meghan Markle just because you're a smoke? I mean, right. What do we think?
I don't think
they're soulmates? I mean, she was gifted
well,
with...
Well, if Peter Cook found his soulmate, a 20-year-old, then sure, they are, too.
She was gifted with...
Pumping into the guy.
With beauty. I mean, she was gifted with... She's a smoke. Mm-hmm. She met the guy, and she's got, you know, courtesans and... The butlers and drivers, not everybody wants the trade-off of a life like that that goes along with the incessant harassment that they face.
Yeah, but she wants to be a Hollywood superstar. Isn't that the same thing?
It's not. It's I don't think it is because I don't think that stateside here in the U.S. that you that celebrities deal with nearly the level of crap that she was dealing with as a royal.
I mean, I think the culture is completely different. The paparazzi. You look at some of these celebrities, Kim Kardashian. She can't even walk out her front door without.
But she thrives on that wig. That's her brand.
Well, but it seems like Meghan Markle wants that as well.
But not in the sense that they do it in Britain. It's a very different culture in how they treat the royals.
I'm just saying. Right. Enjoy that money.
Irrational fear, tapeworm in the brain. Not so fun. Guy in Texas, in Austin, has successfully had a tapeworm removed from his brain and what doctors are calling a miracle. They think that the tapeworm had been growing slowly since the man, who's been identified only as Gerardo, not Rico Suave, got undercooked pork in Mexico, which I felt like was one of those standard travel rules that you don't violate, like drinking the water.
There's a theme here, mm-hmm.
right?
I mean, can we all give up eating at places in other nations where maybe they don't have the same standards that we have here?
When they're killing the food right in front of you, you might want to be like, you know what?
At the table?
You want the wolf pup suit? Hold on, we're going to bring out a few puppies. You pick and choose which one you want.
Obscure reference, Wrath of Khan, the Star Trek movie, where they put the larva in the guy's ear. Is that what this is? Was that a tapeworm?
Something like that, yeah. So the tapeworm traveled to his brain. He fainted last year after playing soccer, so he got an MRI, and he told doctors he'd been having headaches and sweating from the pain in his head, and then he would throw up, and the MRI revealed the tapeworm, so they had to go in with this very complex surgery to actually, and tapeworms are, like, very long, 6 feet long. So they had to unwind this thing from his brain tissue. But they said he's going to be okay.
Stop eating like gladiators from, you know, millions of years. It's like...
Or at least get it well done. Right. I mean, if you're going to be ordering some kind of a meat in a market where it's slaughtered before you have them cook it till it's done.
Wait, if you're in certain countries, don't say when the server asks how you'd like the meat prepared, don't say how the chef recommends it. That's one time you don't want to go by the chef's recommendation.
I like my wolf pup medium. I want it rare before my big battle in my gladiator.
Did you see a lady in North Carolina that won the lottery like twice in the last year and a half?
These people drive me nuts.
I know.
How is it fair? How much does she win?
She won a $4 million prize in August of 2018 playing a game called Millionaire Bucks.
Not bad.
And then she won a $10 million scratchy called Colossal Cash last week.
$10 million on a scratchy?
On a scratchy.
That's impossible.
It's like the $30 scratch tickets. That's what those are.
Well, it says it's not impossible, but it's probably impossible.
Yeah, close to it.
I buy the ones that have the $10 million prize on it. I haven't hit yet.
You haven't hit yet?
Like the McDonald's game. You're still waiting on that.
No, exactly.
But $20 for those $10 million scratch-off tickets.
So when you win, you're going to buy this place and fire all of us, right?
Well, I don't know.
Is that what you're going to do?
If $10 million can get it done. Let me say, if I do hit the big one, I'll buy it, and there'll be a little bit more color.
I understand.
Not everybody's going to
change some roles around this place.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. We got some roles changing if you buy this
not
place.
Not roles. It's just, you know, we're going to incorporate more of the...
diversity?
Yeah, you see more of the DACA version.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Speaking of the lottery thing, I don't know if you saw this story last week, but it's pretty interesting. The guy in New Bedford who said that a woman duped him out of his scratch ticket, the guy won, it was one of the $4 million scratchies, and he won the $4 million prize. But he gave it to this woman. He thought it was $4,000 because it was MIL, and in his native language that meant thousand. Mm-hmm. So he thought he won $4,000. So he gave it to this woman who's one of those people that cashes in scratchies so the other people don't have the tax liability, and she takes a percentage of the thing.
Yeah.
So she said to him, he's like, oh, look, I won $4,000. And she looks at the ticket And she said, oh, yeah, you did win $4,000. So she gave him like $3,500.
Wow.
Goes
oh, she
and
even took the taxes out.
She did. And then, well, her fee. And then goes and cashes in the $4 million prize.
Of course she did.
So this poor guy, Joao.
What a poor guy. Like,
hey.
Right. He was trying to scam the system in the first
well,
place.
Right. Yeah, hey, you right, know, right. Get duped.
Yep.
So there's this whole big investigation now because I guess his wife had a photo of the winning ticket, so mm-hmm. they're trying to show via surveillance video at the convenience store that they were the one that purchased it.
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
That's it.
Sorry.
They fought that successfully before in other states. We did stories on the old show. I forget where it was, but someone had like lost a lottery ticket, and then someone else found it and signed it, but they were able to prove through video surveillance right. that the initial guy was the one that purchased it. So they argued in court, and the judge wound up finding in favor of the first guy.
Was the guy here illegally or something? Was he not like a taxpayer?
They haven't broken down exactly why he went to her for that reason, so we don't know if it was a immigration status
well, he
thing.
Went,
we don't know.
Clearly he went for the... He tried to finagle the system and got finagled.
Yes, that's Wiggy.
Number one rule, hey, if you live by the scam, die by the scam.
That's correct, Wiggy. Yes.
Red Sox just hired both of these people.
That's a come-up for her, man. Man, that's a come-up.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get into that? Like, what do they do?
You want to cash four people?
Yeah, like it seems like it's a pretty good business right there.
Yeah. And all of a sudden you're in Craig's income bracket.
I think they might know.
You had a divorce and you're going to call 911 to get advice. You bet your ass it happened here.
And now.
It's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of Florida.
Florida? But that's America's way.
Not like the rest of us.
Another day in Florida.
Cocaine, right? I thought that was just for people in Florida.
69-year-old Sylvia Shoemaker of Largo, Florida, was arrested Friday morning at 1:50 a.m. for misuse of the 911 system, for calling and texting repeatedly to make non-criminal complaints about her husband and to ask how to file for divorce. When police responded to her home and questioned her, she was reportedly highly intoxicated and was subsequently arrested and charged with misuse of the 911 system.
Yeah. So you can't call 911 to figure out how to get a divorce.
That is correct. Right. I would not recommend doing that.
All right. Danielle, thank you.
You're welcome.
If you'd like to be on the show this morning, the number to call is 617-779-7937. Or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. Coming up at 8:30, Trollin Volin from the Boston Globe. Ben is at the Super Bowl.
He is.
And he will join us from Miami this morning in about a half an hour. And, Ken, you were saying that when it comes to free agent quarterbacks, he has Brady at number four?
At number four. Behind Dak Prescott, Drew Brees, and Ryan F. Tannehill.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Does he not have Teddy Bridgewater on that list?
Let me check his whole list.
Wow.
He and Brady are both four. It's a tie for four. Yeah, so.
Brady's actually tied with Eli.
And I'm still almost 2 hours later getting text messages about your lead and about what a knee-jerk reaction that was this morning,
Wiggy. It's not a knee-jerk reaction.
We can revisit Wiggy's lead, which happened at 6 this morning, in which he said that the NBA must retire Kobe Bryant's number 24 immediately.
Yes.
Immediately. So we'll get to all of that coming up on the Greg Hill Show here at WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.